Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Left of Straight Show with your host, Scott Fullerton, as we discuss everything under the rainbow sun, from LGBT issues to foodies, entertainment to books. Join us as we talk to some of the most interesting leaders and celebrity LGBT guests and allies on the internet. So grab a cocktail, it's always happy hour somewhere, and enjoy the show. Now, here's your host, Scott Fullerton.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Left of Straight Show. It is Tuesday, June 14th. Thank you so much for listening in today. A big shout out to my brother. It's his birthday today. Happy birthday, Todd, down in South Carolina there, where so much stuff is going on. But yeah, hey, welcome to the show, guys. Got a great show for you today. Still a little bit in that kind of in-between phase where we're trying to make sure we keep having a good entertainment show for you, but still dealing with the tragedy that happened on Sunday in Orlando. So a lot of us are still processing that. It's going to take some time for all of us. But I appreciate you tuning in today. We'll discuss that a little bit with my guests. And we have the fantastic Emerson Collins coming on. You know him from the People's Couch, of course, and the Dell and Emerson Show. And Jeffrey Marsh, fantastic activist, huge Vine and social media sensation. So they'll both be coming on in just a little bit. But just wanted to take some time to start off with the show and do some more reaching out to talk about Sunday a bit. Still, like I said, dealing with it. Everyone that's going to deal with it our own way. If you did not hear the show on Sunday, I did a special impromptu show Sunday night at 5 o'clock just to kind of talk out what the feelings were. I was scheduled to go to Pittsburgh Pride on Sunday, and I decided to stay in and do a radio show instead, partly to get out my own feelings, partly because there's a lot of people that don't have a place to go to. They're still either in the closet, or they feel that they can't be found out by anybody and are afraid. And really, social media and internet radio are really only places they have to connect with each other. So I thought it was important to do a radio show that day. Had a fantastic discussion talking about it and what we can do and our thoughts. The wonderful Eddie Lobo and Ronnie Kroll from Friend Project called in. Great insights. Rob Watson, our very good friend from LGBT, Rated LGBT Radio on Garrett Miller's show on Thursday nights. He also does his own Santa Cruz radio show Saturdays on AM Radio in Santa Cruz. Carrie Droll, who is a great friend of the show, and to Ronnie and Eddie especially, and Friend Project, and to so many of our great entertainment friends out there in L.A. And then Suzanne DeWitt Hall is a fantastic author that's been on the show before. She writes about her dog Rumpelpimple and his two mommies. And Suzanne and her wife Diane DeWitt Hall called in. And finally, we had Curtis Davis, who is the new owner of a and proud progressive and LGBT radio station in Columbus, Ohio, where I'm actually going this weekend to help celebrate their Pride weekend. This coming weekend is the Pride weekend in Columbus, Ohio. Second biggest Pride in the Midwest after only Chicago. I'm going to be in the True FM online booth there, kind of saying hi to everybody. Probably be live on the air a couple times, so look for it on your radio station there and talking to people. But we had a great group of people on, so I was just so excited to talk to them and kind of talk out our feelings, and we're still processing all that. We learned a little bit more each day. The news is just constant on it, and I'm a news junkie, so this is a great time for me to kind of unplug and relax for a little bit. Some of the great things that have been happening, though, talked about yesterday a bit, that JetBlue Airlines is offering free tickets for immediate family members to and from Orlando on available flights. So thank you very much to JetBlue Airlines. Good friend of the show, Paul Richmond's a fantastic artist, been on the show a couple of times. He created a new T-shirt surrounding Pulse, and all the proceeds for that is going to a GoFundMe account. So I will have a link on that on my website, or go to Paul Richards. I think it's PaulRichardsArtStudio.com, or look for Paul Richmond, and look for Paul on social media, and I'll provide the link because he's created this gorgeous T-shirt that I'll be wearing all during Pride, and they're selling like hotcakes, and that all go towards the GoFundMe account that Equality Florida has set up down there. So a lot of good things are happening, and just thoughts and prayers are out to everyone there. So I know it's been a tough time for everyone. A couple good things. Like I said, I will be at the Pride Festival this week. Can't stop being out and be amongst ourselves and our tribe. But you can listen live on the app. We have a new app. It's for iPhones only right now. The Androids will be coming soon. But if you go to your iPhone app store and look for Left of Straight Radio, we have our brand new app there that has all of our shows for the Left of Straight show and my Thursday Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio. So be sure to download that. It'll be on Androids in approximately 2 weeks, and we'll be doing live shows through there and out of our new Spreaker is a new platform we're using. That's www.spreaker.com. We're able to do some live out of there as well, so we'll be working with them a lot. If you haven't followed us there, I would appreciate that. So that'll be kind of cool. We'll be doing some live interviews. One of the featured performing artists at Columbus Pride is Trey Pearson, who's been in the news recently for just coming out. He's in a gay Christian band, very famous for that, married with two kids. And he has been slowly coming out to his family and friends over the last year. And now he's come out publicly a couple of weeks ago. He will be one of the headliners at Columbus Pride. So I'm looking forward to being able to talk with him and meet him. He actually has a picture of himself in that Pulse T-shirt as well that's going to that. So going to be a fun weekend there. I'm looking forward to that. Last night we had the vigil in Ohio. If you've been watching the vigils, it's the one thing that's coming out of this is there is some unity, and I'm hoping it's throughout not just our LGBT community, but the straight community as well. If you looked at Orlando last night, thousands of people came out for the vigil. New York at Stonewall had one the last couple of nights. My local little town here of Northeast Ohio, Youngstown, had a vigil last night. Over 200 people came out, which is very encouraging. It's just been happening everywhere. I know Columbus had one that night. San Francisco's had one, San Jose. And then there's so much outpouring from all the other countries. You see the Eiffel Tower lit up in rainbow colors over in England, just Hong Kong, just an outpouring around the world. So let's really hope that this does kind of galvanize to bring our community and the straight community together, because it's something we really need right now, and I'm just very excited that that's happening. A couple great shows coming up. Next week, have the amazing Sam Harris, who was on Star Search back in the day, if you remember, has a beautiful son now, and his musical Ham. We'll be talking all about that next Monday, along with my special co-host, Greg Archer. He did the web series, The You and the Me. You know that I fell in love with that series. It's like a grown-up Gilmore Girls for guys. It's just awesome. And he'll be my co-host next week. And I believe we're going to have Eric Restivo on, who is the manager of Flaming Saddles in L.A., and just to talk about what it's like to be a bar owner and how to deal with all of that through the aftermath as well. So it's going to be a great show next week. Lots of fun stuff going on. And you're in for a great show today. We're going to be talking in just a couple moments. Emerson Collins. We'll be back in just a couple of moments. We're going to play, actually, Emerson's co-star on The People's Couch, Blake MacGyver, It Gets Better. just because I think his songs resonate so much in this time right now. So you're listening to Left of Straight Show. We'll be back with Emerson Collins in just a couple moments. This is Blake MacIver, It Gets Better.
Without a prayer, I see a soul who thinks that it's the end. A broken will's the hardest thing to mend. But try to understand. I know you're hurting, I can see your pain, but you've got a future where there's
we are back. That was Blake MacIver with It Gets Better. So much that we need to know here. Great friend of the show and, of course, the co-star with our first guest. I'm so happy to have him here today. You know, he's one of my favorites. I think his wit and his wisdom combined with his talent both in front and behind the camera is just amazing. His leading performance in Southern Baptist Sissies is a must-see as far as I'm concerned for all those struggling to come out and for friends and loved ones who may not really know or understand what the process is about. Along with being in the middle of co-producing and being in production for a very sordid wedding, where marriage equality comes to our favorite small town in Texas, he's also performing the one-man show Buyer and Seller at the historic Laguna Playhouse in Laguna Beach, California. Please welcome back to the show Emerson Collins. Emerson, how are you?
I'm so well, Scott, on a Tuesday. I'm choosing today to look to positive things and to look to forward movement as my little piece of all that's been going on in the last few days. So I'm happy to be here with your wonderful community.
Well, thank you very much. And we've been talking about this the last couple of days. It's time like this where we really need to be with our community, with our tribe, so to speak. And I'm so happy to be speaking with you because you always are so eloquent and have such great thoughts on it. How have you been dealing with the whole thing? I mean, you've been traveling back and forth from L.A. to Laguna. How have you been able to process all this?
Well, you know, it's interesting, certainly not to make it all about me, but I think this is an important tragedy in the sense that it impacts a lot of the community, even who aren't directly related. And of course, we want to first and foremost be most sensitive and supportive to the actual Pulse community, the Orlando community, the Latino community that was the most directly impacted. But I think for me, like many, it resonated in a way that I live in a world where I'm fortunate to have a large LGBT community in West Hollywood. And so I think I live in one of the sort of pink bubbles, if you will, where we feel
right.
safer on a more regular basis than many of our LGBT brothers and sisters do in places where that isn't necessarily the case. So I think I noticed it rocked some of the bigger communities a little harder. I think the response for some of us is directly in proportion to how safe we feel regularly.
Right.
So for me, I watched the events start on social media late Saturday night in California, early morning in Orlando, and was able to plug in the direct feed from the local Orlando news to my television to watch the final elements of the event actually occur. And then on Sunday, I'm doing Buyer and Seller, as you said, in Laguna. So it's a one-man show, and I'm in a condo by myself, and I was missing LA Pride that weekend. So I found myself very, very leaning on social media and the reactions of everyone and just feeling the sense of community online. Most of all,
right.
for not having access to a large group of LGBT people in person. So I found myself actually very grateful for the connectivity of the online aspect of our community to sort of deal with the early emotional impact of all that was happening.
Right. I was telling listeners earlier, I kind of the same way. I was Pittsburgh Pride was in about an hour away from me, and that was Sunday. But I ended up doing a radio show because I needed to kind of talk it out for my own feelings. And like you said, there's so many people that are isolated, either afraid to come out, not able to come out, and social media and internet radio with shows like your show, The Dylan Emerson Show, and our show and everything is really the only connection they have. So I thought it was really important to go on the air. And I had about seven people call in. We had a wonderful hour and a half conversation on it, and you really felt like you were part of community because you really need that in a day like that.
Yeah, well, and I feel like that aspect of it was really important because outside of the Orlando community, it was still very impactful on many, many LGBT people across the country. And I go to there's no wrong reaction, you know, whether your reaction was to be by yourself at home, whether your reaction was to cry, whether your reaction was to defiantly, you know, go out in public and gather with people to stand in the face of oppression and say, you know, I'm going to continue to be seen. I think every action is correct. And I think remembering to check in on each other, specifically within our community, but also allies as well, to check in on the LGBT people that they know is an important part of the early healing process and processing. You know, I think however each person chooses to manage that is appropriate.
Right. And you have the added burden. Like you said, you're from LA area. You have so many friends in LA. I've met so many friends through this internet show. And to top it all off, there's reports of a 20-year-old Indiana kid maybe having something to do with LA Pride. How was that to deal with being so many miles away and knowing the show had to go on? Was that real difficult
yeah.
for you? I can just imagine.
Yeah, it was an interesting thing for me to say, you know, what can I do? I think a lot of us go to that. What can I do besides sending love, you know, and of course the GoFundMe campaign that they're doing in support of the Pulse community is blowing up and continues to be a way for people to directly contribute, at least financially, to support the friends and family that are grieving. But I did. I had two shows to do, and I sort of, you know, I said, that's my job. What I'm an openly gay man playing more than one gay character in a play about a gay icon written by an openly gay man. So today what I'm going to do is do my art. That's my contribution to making the world better. You know, it's not a direct contribution to the actual events in the community, but I thought, you know, I can do my job and put something positive out into the world today. So that's how I got through what were admittedly two sort of difficult shows to do on Sunday. But, and I found the same thing. I don't know how you felt if you watched. The Tony Awards were an incredible reprieve for me, seeing, you know, a community, the theater community that has so long and so historically been filled with and supportive of the LGBT community, watching a bunch of professionals go on stage and give their heart and soul. You know, I think putting beauty into the world is one of the ways we counteract this kind of bigotry and hatred as well.
So agreed. It was a fantastic show. I mean, that's always my happy place anyway, once a year, but I think Lin-Manuel Miranda did a fantastic acceptance speech, and it was just,
well,
I think it was healing, as the arts are.
I mean, well, and for me, Cynthia Erivo, you know, standing there doing The Color Purple, which of course is about, particularly about the struggle of the African-American community and African-American women, but as she gets to the end of her number, it says, "And I'm here," you know, I felt like that lyric and that moment and her commitment to that performance, you know, reflected so many of us and what we were feeling in that moment. I just found it very cathartic and moving.
Right, exactly. I was thinking of Blake at that time because we know how what a fan he is of Heather Headley there, and I know he was probably going insane as well with all with all the meaning behind it. Well, we had a good transition there. You're playing in Byron Cellar again. You did the show last year in Palm Springs, and now you've brought it to to Laguna Beach Playhouse, which is arguably one of the most beautiful playhouses around, been around since 1920. How is the show coming along?
So great. You know, I feel so blessed. Jonathan Tolans has written this most brilliantly, wonderfully witty, charming, and touching script about an actor who gets a job working in Barbra Streisand's basement mall. And I had a wonderful experience in Palm Springs last year with Coyote Stageworks and the Laguna Playhouse. Artistic director Annie Wareham invited us to join their 95th season this year. So it was so great for me to be able to get back together with Larry, you know, and figure out what we could, how we could deepen and make our show of it even better. And the Laguna Playhouse community is wonderful. They have a wonderful staff. Annie runs an incredibly warm and inviting group of artists, and it's a beautiful theater and a wonderful space. And I'm just having the most delightful time traipsing back and forth across the stage with my piano bench and chair telling the story seven times a week.
That is awesome. Yeah, the history there. I used to go to shows there. For those not familiar with the Laguna Beach area, it's just a beautiful enclave there. They have artist exhibits with little walks right along the cliffs, and it's a gorgeous place. But the Playhouse itself, they've had everyone from Betty Davis to Tony Tennille and Rita Rudner and everybody play there. It's just a huge icon in the theater industry.
Yeah, it was funny you said Rita Rudner. She came to see the show the other day, and she's friends with the stage manager, and so she came back to say hi before to her, and I walked out, and I was like, oh, no pressure, just only a comedy genius in the audience today, so go ahead and be funny. I was like,
Oh, my God, I was going to ask you. I mean, you had some great run-ins in Palm Springs. You had the amazing Barbra Boxer. You had Barry Manilow, and now we have Rita Rudner. Any other fun, exciting show moments that you've had so far or backstage after the show moments?
I mean, Rita has been the most exciting on the comedy celebrity circuit, but what's been really fun this time is to get to meet so many fans of the People's Couch, funny enough, who are coming to the theater, and there's sort of an amusing, fun moment for me where they go, we didn't realize, you know, that you're an actor, and I was like, yes, that's actually what I do first. The snarky, silly, sitting on the couch thing is the, like, fun hobby. The actual performing is supposed to be the real gig. But no, it's been wonderful.
That's
and, you know,
awesome.
I think it's been exciting to get to see and meet fans of that show that also enjoy live theater. So that's been really wonderful and touching to get to interact with people publicly instead of just tweeting with people about the People's Couch online.
That's awesome. And you're doing the show 5 days a week. I think you're dark Mondays and Tuesdays, right?
Correct. Wednesday through Sunday, seven shows. The next for two more weeks, there are Thursday and Saturday and Sunday matinees. To give people plenty of choices. Tickets are available at lagunaplayhouse.com. And I think there's some Gold Star tickets for people that are on a budget, which I understand and can always relate to.
Of course, yes. And you said Larry Rabin, he's the one that did Palm Springs as well. He came with you to the show?
He did. You know, it's sort of a duo pairing as we crafted this thing together. So we got to come and play in the sandbox again together. He's a brilliant, wonderful director and an incredible partner in creating this.
Nice. And how was it to fall back into all that dialogue? Like you said, you're a number of characters. It's all you on stage. I remember when you were preparing for Palm Springs, I laughed and we talked about it last time on the show. You were walking the streets of L.A. to have to memorize all that dialogue. Did it come back quickly, or how did you brush up for this?
It did come back quickly, but it was funny because the weeks leading up to this, you know, we were in Winnipeg shooting a very sort of wedding. So I was in Winnipeg for 5 weeks, flying back and forth to shoot the people's couch in L.A., and then in the evenings when I finished work, spending like 45 minutes putting pages back into my brain to make sure that buyer and seller was all there when I arrived in Laguna. But it did. It came back very quickly. There were huge sections where I was like, oh, right. It's like, it's sort of like music. Once you know a piece, you know, it may have been a while since you performed it, but like I could hear the rhythm and the voices of myself in my head. And it gave me a nice break in producing a very sort of wedding to take, you know, an hour every evening and walk the streets of Winnipeg this time instead, making sure that Byron Zeller was still in my brain. It's the princess problem to have too many projects happening at once, of course.
Exactly. It's always a good thing to have, especially when you're in your profession. Exactly. And I know Barbara Boxer asked once, but I'll have to ask again. Did Barbara see it? Have you been to Barbara's closet since then or her mall since then?
I have not yet been invited to Barbara's basement. And I know that Barbara has not seen the show. Michael had mentioned that many of her team had, but that she has not. So I want her to come to mine. I'd rather her go see Michael Urie do it. Like, he can take that pressure.
There you go. Gotcha. Well, let's go ahead and transition. We talked about Sorted Lives. You were 5 weeks in Canada doing the show. What was it like going to Canada? Is this your first time producing the show and actually going out of the country to film it?
It was my first trip to Canada, my first time producing out of the country. We partnered with an incredible production company in Winnipeg, Buffalo Gal Pictures. They're a long-standing and established production company that facilitates American productions coming to work in Canada. And they know all of the crew. So Phyllis Lang and Jeff Beasley there, we met with them on the phone, Del and I did, and we went, you seem great. This is perfect. And we got up there, and their team was incredible. They found us an incredible crew of people that are talented artists with a positive attitude, and we shot for 12 days in 2 weeks. When brought 24 of our beloved actors up across the border and did a whirlwind adventure. It was 85 degrees one day, and then another day it was 30 degrees, and there were snow flurries while we were pretending that it was July in Texas. So as it typically is the case with the Sorted family, there was definitely not a dull moment to be had.
That is funny. How did you film around a slight snowstorm there?
Well, Del being the brilliant director that he is, we just sort of reworked a few scenes. There are two scenes that in the script were going to be exterior scenes that are now inside. One day we were worrying about rain. And it didn't impact that, but the day that it was 30 degrees, we still had two pieces we needed to get outside. And bless their hearts, Lorna Scott and Sharon Garrison, who play Vera Lisso and Mrs. Barnes, were the biggest sports doing their little piece outside the window in the 30 degrees, just thinking warm thoughts while we sat inside waiting for the snow flurries to stop appearing in the air so that you wouldn't see them. I told Del, I said, you know, if the snow doesn't stop, if it starts really snowing, I don't know what to do. Someone's just going to have to run down the street screaming, in time, because it's snowing in July in Texas. I was like, I don't know how else to solve this if it doesn't stop snowing. Like, our manna, it's manna from heaven. Just like God sent the Israelites in the desert with Moses. But fortunately, we did not have to resolve to that. The snow stopped, even though it was bitterly cold. And the crew up there loved our actors, as we all do. They said it was one of the most wonderful experiences they've had working, which we, of course, take pleasure in as the producers, because I always say, we're not curing cancer. We should be having a good time, even on the tough days.
There you go. And then you brought actually a great mix of all of our favorite characters from both the movie and television, didn't you?
Yes, we sure did. You know, all of the characters we know and love, and then Del's invented a bunch of new characters so we could get some wonderful cameos from, of course, Icon herself, Carol Cook, Tony Wither, Levi Christ, Catherine Bayless, one of the series regulars on Hit the Floor on VH1, and of course the big win of our exciting new adventure was the cameo that we secured of Miss Whoopi Goldberg to show up.
All right, now I got to tell a quick story. I'm not doing this for me, but as you know, I love you guys, love the show. So I sent some flowers up to the ladies on the Friday because I knew it was going to be Mother's Day, and I knew they were going to be out of town. So I thought, well, I asked Dell, I said, who's the main ladies that are going to be there? And I asked them like early in the week, like the week before, right? But I waited till Friday, Mother's Day, and I find out that Whoopi Goldberg is there. So now I feel like, great, Whoopi is going to see all these women seeing flowers, and she's not getting them, and I'm the jerk all of a sudden that forgot Whoopi Goldberg. But that was just – it was cracking me up, to tell you the truth. How amazing was it to have her there?
Well, hold on. Let me finish the coda to your story, because they did, and we were all at base camp, and the ladies loved it as the flowers arrived, and you sent chocolates for Dell and I. Well, Caroline Ray traded in her flowers for my chocolate.
That's
so
funny.
You know. I was like, yes, ma'am, whatever you need. Well, you know, I figured we only got Whoopi Goldberg because she and Caroline Way are friends. I said the least I could do is trade her some chocolates for some flowers.
There you go. That sounds like a very fair trade.
Yeah.
I love
it. But the Whoopi adventure was amazing. Her team was incredibly wonderful in figuring out how to make it happen. We've been talking for weeks and weeks, and Dell had thought it was going to happen, and I just never thought it would. I said, I'm sure she wants to. I believe that. She's really supportive. She loves Dell's work. But just the reality of someone at that level and their schedule, I just said, I don't believe it'll really happen. And they said, we found a date on a Friday evening where she could leave The View on a Thursday at 12:30, get in her bus because she doesn't fly, and drive 25 hours to Winnipeg. So we built the whole schedule around her 5 hours on a Friday evening being with us. And so on Thursday, you know, we heard, okay, she's left New York. And then on Friday, we started shooting, you know, before she arrived. So we kept going, have we heard anything? Nope, we haven't heard anything. They have our numbers. I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, if she doesn't come, I told Dell, I said, the solution is you're going to play that part, just so you know. if something happens, bus breaks down, whatever, weather, there's so many variables as a producer that you worry about. And then we heard, nope, she's an hour and a half from the North Dakota border. Okay, so she'll probably be around 5 or 6 o'clock is what we figured out. Well, 3:45, we're finishing up lunch, and this bus pulls into our base camp. And I was like, oh, my God, she's here. Like, I was standing right beside it as it pulled up. I was like, go get Caroline Ray. She's her friend. Let's make sure she sees somebody she knows first. And Caroline came over, and she said, come with me. And we were like, no, you go talk to her. Don't let her invite us onto the bus. I'm not just walking on behind you. So Caroline went on and said hello, came out a minute later and said, come on. So Dell and I get on the bus, and there's Whoopi all dressed, all relaxed. And she was so incredibly kind and so incredibly generous. And I don't know if Dell will tell you the story this way, so I'll tell it to you now. He said to her, he said, you know, you can do whatever you want with the script, you know, make it your own, do the things, you know. Really, we were just saying, we're so happy you're here. You can do whatever you want. Say whatever you want. And she looked at him and said, what? I'm here because your writing's brilliant. I think you wrote it real well. How about if I just say your words? And it was a very sweet moment to see, you know, the look on his face enjoying that and a compliment from a genius of her caliber. She said, I know it about 97%. I feel real good about it. Let's just do it. Okay, so Dell had to go back, of course, to directing the movie. So I said, should we bring hair and makeup and wardrobe to you? And she said, I can go to them. It's fine. We walk off the bus, and everybody says hi, and we put her into makeup. And she said, I want some fun makeup, like Caroline Ray. I want to look like I'm supposed to be in this world. She said, what do you have for me as a costume? Some kind of tent. And I said, a robe. And she said, perfect. So we showed her the robe, make sure it was okay. And she looked at it, and she goes, the color purple? Because it was a purple robe. And I said, we're not foolish. This isn't our first time. She said, okay, I see you. And then we got her onto the set. And she was wonderful and hilarious. We shot it a whole bunch of times from a whole bunch of angles with all the rest of the cast. And she was warm and delightful with everyone and so friendly and gracious. And we get to the end of the night, and I said, you know, I've got to see if I can try to do this. And I asked Caroline, I said, will you see if she'll do just a quick little shoot for a DVD extra feature about how you know her and that's how we got her. And she said, well, yeah, let's just sit down right here. So we sat down on the stage, me and Dell and Caroline and Whoopi, and chatted for 15 minutes and then walked her back to base camp. And she said, oh, we're driving on tonight. It's like 9:45 at this point. And we're walking back towards the bus. And she said, I don't know. I just get in the bus and I sleep in the back and show up, get out wherever I'm supposed to. And I said, we spent all those years trying to get you from the back to the front of the bus. Of course, being silly about civil rights. And she looked at me and she said, this will go in my life book. She said, absolutely, hon. But the difference is now I own the bus. And she got on and left.
Oh, and that is Whoopi Goldberg. But I love
amazing.
It.
Amazing. No, that's so great. And of course,
cool,
we have a cast full of comedic geniuses, but, you know, to have someone that's truly, truly an icon like that as a part of the project just speaks so highly of the beautiful script that Del has written and how excited we are about what we're doing with this movie.
That is awesome. Well, I think I told you beforehand, we're going to have a sorted wedding month here. We're going to have the amazing Rosemary Alexander and Newell Alexander coming on next Tuesday. So we'll let everyone have a little part of it. I'm so glad we got to hear Whoopi from you. But you're going to be going to Texas, actually, do a little finish-up filming in July. Talk about that, and I know we're doing another Indiegogo campaign where you have some chance to be there with Leslie Jordan, I think, right?
Absolutely. We're super excited. We shot 80% of the movie in Winnipeg, and we have 3.5 days to shoot in Dallas. And we really wanted to do that because we are working with – we wanted to use the real club, S4, the Rose Room, where the drag queens perform, was the first gay bar I ever went to. It was a big part of my coming out process. And, of course, the community there has always been extremely supportive of Del and his work. So we wanted to use the real Rose Room and people from there. So we're using Crystal Summers and Edna Jean Robinson and Cassie Nova that work there and will be doing a special guest star moment for us. And, so Brother Boy has a big performance at the Rose Room. So our new Indiegogo campaign features a bunch of fun perks to help us finish the budget of the film, fun prizes. But also the big one is you can be an extra on that day for the Brother Boy performance at the Rose Room. So if you go to Indiegogo and search a very sort of wedding, the campaign pops up, and there's a special VIP package that includes a photo with Leslie Jordan in his new Tammy Wynette performance ensemble for some super fans to come be a part, you know, of helping us make the movie. And we're really excited. At the end of July, the 24th through 27th is when we'll be there.
That's amazing. Well, I know you have so much stuff to do. You're barely back in L.A. for a couple of days. I know you and Del have lots of work to do, so I'll let you go. Let's just finish up. This was an amazing season on People's Couch. You guys moved to Fridays, which I thought fit the show so well. And you said now you have fans coming to the plays. How is it feeling with you in your fourth season, having four seasons under your belt?
You know, it's great. It's amazing. It was crazy when we stopped and realized that here we've done four seasons and 57 episodes, I think, you know, that this thing that started out as the little engine that could is now sort of extremely established it's a very unique thing in the Bravo world, and Bravo's been really great about it. And the move to Fridays made it a fun Friday night, date night, live tweeting opportunity with the fans. And I'm just so thrilled to be a part of it. You know, I love TV, and I love that we're a silly, fun, amusing outlet that's snarky without being mean, in a way that, you know, creates a fun community of viewers. And so I feel really blessed to be a part of it.
That is awesome. And we got to see the kick heard around the world during Beyonce. Any other fun behind-the-scenes things we missed on the show?
Yes. Oh, Lord, yes. That's, you know, was the biggest moment for the season for us, for sure. But got my face has recovered from Scott's assault of it with his foot. But, you know, and that's one of the great things about the show is the sort of fun, ridiculous things that occur. And, hey, I get to go to work with two of the people I love the most in the whole world. So no complaints about that. And here's hoping season 5 is sooner rather than later.
There you go. And once your life settles down just a little bit, are we going to be seeing some more popping off with your buddy Justin?
Well, you know, we'll see. It's like right now everything sort of works in sections. This is the buyer and seller section, and then I finish this, and then it's a very sort of wedding finish the movie second section. And so when I get back to the beginning of August and we start really, really digging into editing a very sort of wedding, then I'll be able to figure out what else there's time to fit back into the schedule. But, yes, Dustin and I certainly miss the popping off, and he's been really busy doing stand-up all across everywhere as well. So it's a good problem to be busy in our world.
Exactly. Well, we do miss you there. We miss you and Del on the radio every week, but that'll be back eventually, we hope. And I just want to thank you so much for coming on, my friend. It's an honor whenever I get to talk to you, and I'm so excited for all this busy time in your life because they are all just fantastic projects.
Thank you so much for having me, and I appreciate so much the positive community-oriented aspect of what you and this show are putting out into the world, and it's certainly needed. So thank you for having me.
I appreciate it. Hold on the line for 1 second. We're going to be back in just a little bit. I'm going to play a song from good friend Carly Robin Green, so appropriate for now, What Love Is All About. You're listening to the Left of Straight Show. We'll be back with the fantastic Jeffrey Marsh in just a little bit. And we're back. My next guest today is someone who's become a true friend and I've just become such a fan of. They is a social media superstar with over a quarter of a billion views for their podcasts and videos. They has over a quarter million followers on Vine alone, and their message has always been about love and acceptance of who we are and is reframing how we think of gender. And I think it's so important to have they on. As we have this tragic weekend still fresh in our mind, I'm so looking forward to talk to him. Please welcome to the show, Jeffrey Marsh. I did it all but one, I think. I'm getting there.
Yeah. No, I think that one was apostrophe E-M. Talk to him. Talk to them.
Oh, there you go. Okay, good, good. I like
so
it.
Great.
I like it. You gave me a
and
path.
And here's a tiny tip. You can use it. You can use they exactly as you would in any other circumstance. So they are, I'm excited to talk to them exactly as you would any other way. Isn't that
perfect? Fun? I'm so excited. I was so honored to have Jeffrey on our Healing Stigma show a couple weeks ago, and the pronoun issue was such a difficult thing for me because I'm trying to learn it so bad because I think it's so important, and I was really trying to get it right. So thank you for the encouragement. How are you doing today?
I'm doing so wonderfully well, which might be a little shocking considering what a sad, horrible few days it's been.
Well, that's one of the reasons I'm so happy that we were picked today to have you on. Of course, we didn't know what was going on, but you are such a positive person overall that we need all that we can get in our lives. So talk to me about a little bit your feelings and what's got you to remain positive through it and keep the love that you've always had in your heart.
Well, you know, your total dedication and love, you know, you said we were friends in the intro, and I'm so glad we are. Your dedication to, for example, the pronoun thing, to me is a perfect example of someone open-heartedly, innocently trying their best. And that's what all of us are doing. You know, what I see in social media is so many people this week in the last few days, you know, especially the young people that I interact with online, they're scared. They're upset.
I can imagine.
It's, you know, when I was growing up, when I was born 7777 because I'm lucky. And when I was
Were you
up,
really? I didn't know that about you. Wow, that's exciting.
Yes, all the planets aligned for that. When I was growing up, it was AIDS. You know, when we first talked about it, you know, when I was a little kid on the farm, it was GRID, gay-related immune deficiency. And what was, you know, that
gotcha.
Was the first thing that I heard on the news. And that made me scared to enter the world, to
right.
become an adult, to be a sexual being, to be queer, right? And I just see, I project anyway, that same fear on the kids based on what has happened this week. Political rhetoric that's happening against queer people. Well, that was really long-winded. Did I answer your question?
No, you didn't. I think you're so true. And that's the thing you worry about. I mean, I did a radio show Sunday because I needed a way to get rid of my feelings out. So I did a radio show, and we have so many different things that we have to deal with as a community that people don't think of. When I'm watching the news coverage, all I can think of is they're looking for all this blood to be donated, and as a gay man, I can't donate it. And they're looking to notify next of kin before they can put any names out. But what if this is kin that has disowned them once upon a time and don't even have contact with them? So there's just such a weird set of circumstances that was put off in my brain. It was like crazy time.
Yeah, the systems that are put in place to help people in these situations are not exactly queer friendly, LGBTQ friendly. And, you know, not LGBTQ friendly describes much of the modern American culture and the world that we live in. So I see young people and adults, too, obviously, attempting to come to terms with that. Is that what you were talking about?
Yeah, do you think it's going to, I mean, one of the good things is we're seeing such an outpouring of affection, hopefully not short-lived. We see Orlando with thousands of people for their tribute. We see it in countries all over the world. Do you think it's actually going to maybe help people come to terms with their sexuality and maybe come out a little more, or do you think it's the hype of it might scare people a little more? I mean, I know what you're hoping, Mr. Positive, but what do you think?
My deep, deep hope is that people will learn to love and accept themselves. Surprise! That's what I say to everything, right? But in this particular context, Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. I just caught myself because I remember I learned a new term last time that I said Mr. Positive. It's mixed positive, MX period. So I'm just remembering all of our stuff we've talked about. So I didn't catch myself, but I want to make sure that everyone knows as we talk about this genderqueer and the different pronouns and the way to use them that we do catch ourselves. And it's okay, like you said, it's not shaming not to do it, but I love when I'm able to kind of catch it. But go ahead and finish your thought. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Well, that was a delight. I want to address that, and then we'll go back to the broader topic, because I have made the decision that as much as I can, I can't control other people. But from my end and what I can do, I never want anyone to feel bad for using the wrong word. I hope you can hear the air quotes around that. The wrong word to describe me, or the wrong pronoun or whatever. This is the appropriate pronoun for me. And I know it's difficult for people to change habits around language and around the way they think about gender. So I would never want anyone to feel judged by what I do. Now that relates to your broader question.
Right.
And I'm so what? No, you were about to compliment me. I'm not going to interrupt you.
Exactly. No, and you are so good about that, and you've brought that conversation to the open. We've been talking about it before. Talk about a little more what your gender pronouns are, because I addressed it through the open, but we haven't really addressed it in the more open sense. Give a little talk about gender and pronouns, if you could.
Absolutely. Well, I wanted to just say one brief thing about the other question you had, which was that the fundamentals are the same. So the message is always learn to love yourself, learn to accept yourself, and hate of any kind, whether it's terrorism, homophobia, or that kind of internal self-judgment, hate of any kind is unhelpful, unwanted, and unwarranted. Our reaction to Orlando needs to be, I personally am going to stand up for more love, more kindness, more acceptance in this world we got. Okay, now
well
pronouns.
Said, my friend.
Thank you. I am genderqueer. That is a label that to me feels like the least like a label, ironically, because I don't identify as man. I don't identify as woman. Those words don't feel comfortable for me. And we can talk about, you know, what in my biography might intersect with that if you want. But when it relates to pronouns, it's that when someone says he or she to refer to this being, to refer to Jeffrey, it just is not, it's just cringeworthy. It's just that's not it. So a lot of people in the genderqueer movement have using they as a gender-neutral pronoun, and there are lots of reasons why they came up with and stuck with that particular word, but that's the personal story, personal side of it.
That is fantastic. Well, it's just such a great honor to start learning these things as we try to get more inclusive in and of ourselves. There's enough homophobia out in the world, which we have seen this week, that we need to really start embracing our own community and make sure that everybody is part of the LGBTQIELMNOP society and really and have
sure.
that acceptance. Well,
yes.
go ahead.
And
let's
it,
go ahead and
can I say it intersects with other forms of activism, like feminism, for example, that once you assign a pronoun
right.
to someone, you automatically make assumptions about, oh, gee, what they're qualified to do, how they should feel, how they should act, et cetera, et cetera. So it
exactly.
can be helpful and handy outside of our community. Go ahead.
Right. Now, talk about your, for those that aren't as familiar with you, talk a little bit about growing up. You are so confident in yourself and your loving statements, everything now, but that wasn't always the case. You kind of had to learn that and had a rough upbringing. Talk a little bit about your upcoming and what really brought you to this position and your early coming out story.
Oh, wow. you can tell I don't exactly enjoy talking about myself, which is shocking because I do it as part of, you know, my living.
Right.
I grew up in a very violent household. It was violent in a number of ways, but mostly my parents and the people around me chose every single method you could imagine, physical, emotional, name-calling, whatever it is, any kind of method to get me not to be queer, to get me not to be who I am. And that, going through that for years, taught me a very valuable lesson. Would you like to hear what it is?
Please.
That lesson is the most important thing we can do is surround ourselves with people that love and care about us and learn to love and care about ourselves.
So important.
I mean,
so important.
Are you reminded? Yes, so important. Are you reminded about, I mean, that's what I tweeted about Orlando. And I said, now is the time. If you love
right.
someone, tell them so. Yeah.
And
so, I
found myself doing that a
lot
lately. I'm sure you have too, where I'm reaching out all over my social media just to say, hey, I'm thinking of you, I love you, and I'm sorry I haven't said it sooner. Just hopefully it's not just an understood thing, but we actually start saying it to each other.
Yeah, and in interviews, you know, I wasn't evading your question. If you want to hear more about my childhood, I think it is important that people know that they're not alone if they've had similar experiences. So I am happy to talk about it with you. But to address your point right there, it is essential to voice our love for each other. It is essential to remind people, because other people, I don't know if this will make sense, but you know, the other people in our lives, learning to love them unconditionally can help us to learn to love ourselves unconditionally. The same process,
so true.
But we just invert it, you know, and learn to accept ourselves.
I
so
love
I
that.
Wow.
Very good.
I don't know if you wanted me to get this profound this early in the interview, but here we go. Here we are.
There you go. Take it. Give it to me, Jeffrey. Give it to me. I'm telling you, I'm ready.
Okay, good.
I'm ready for words from the mountain. Let
so,
they
so
express themselves. Love it.
I will.
No, I don't think we really need to go more into the background. Like I said, I think it just that you were able to acknowledge it and that you were able to grow from it to who you are today, I think it's just a testament of, it's almost cliche anymore, but it does get better, right?
Yeah, and the, you know, what I try to do to build on It Gets Better, I don't know if you were purposely referencing that particular campaign and hashtag and, you know, set of videos. What I try to do to build on that is, as best as I can, make things good now for young people. So it's a great message that you're going to grow up, you're going to graduate, you're going to find a partner, maybe or maybe not, right? But your life will get better,
right.
You'll find more acceptance. That's a wonderful message. And a lot of kids in school still today are struggling, and we need to help it get better for them now, which is what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, very good. Let's Let's go ahead, and I want to take a brief break for a second here. I want to start going on to a little more positive bent, and we are going to talk all about the Jeffrey Marsh that is a social media sensation. I want to talk about your app you have. I want to talk about just everything that's going on. We have so many good things coming up for you. We're going to take a quick break.
Yes.
We'll be right back. We're talking to the amazing Jeffrey Marsh right here on the Left to Straight Show. And we're going to play a quick song from Jay Knight. Great song, Jay Knight. Living for the Memories. We'll be back with Jeffrey Marsh in just a couple of moments.
Single second that will stand the test of time.
Waiting for a moment that's already passed you by. Don't you want to know what you've been missing? What you've been missing blind. Life is what happens when you're making up a plan. Here and now, all we have to leave is our strength. Here and now, hold on tight, we're living for the memory.
Single second that will stand the test of time.
Waiting for a moment that's already passed you by. Don't you want to know what you've been missing? What you've been living blind. Life is what happens when you're making up a plan. Here and now, all we have to live is our strategy. Here and now, hold on tight, we're living for the memory.
Sorrow, no need to feel the pain we do. No need for angels, demons, or fables, praying to gods that don't come true.
Dream as if you live forever. Live as if you
back with Jeffrey Marsh. Now, Jeffrey, talk about the social media. You've had over a quarter of a billion views on all your social media. You're a Vine sensation with over a quarter million followers. How did that happen? Were you always a social media person, or tell about the evolution of being the Jeffrey Marsh?
Yeah, I like how you phrased that. It was something I never expected. Believe it or not, I dreamed of being a cabaret star. I thought people grow
up. Are you
up
a singer?
Yes, absolutely I am. And I knew, I'm actually going to be on the 20th, which is Monday, I'm going to be in a concert with several people, one of which is Bebe Newhouse, if you know who that is. But we're,
if I don't, I take away my gay card. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, everybody knows who Bebe is. But, you know, we're doing a concert to raise awareness for LGBT equality with several celebs. So my social media status has gotten me into those. The event is called Broadway Sings for Pride. And I have a feeling it's going to be very poignant.
Wow.
Poignant, fun night. But anyway,
that's going to be amazing. It's going to be Monday. Where's that going to be at? Is it public invited?
Yes, it's public invited. And I forget the venue. It's in Midtown somewhere. But I can, if you look at the hashtag,
we could look
Broadway,
it up. We could look it up online.
Yes. Broadway Sings for Pride on Twitter, especially. It'll, you know, all the links and everything will just, or you could Google that phrase. But the reason I bring it up is because I thought I was going to do that as my living. I thought, well, there are people who just travel Europe singing political songs in cabarets. And I haven't met them yet, if they exist. I should have been born in the early 20th century. That's just a joke. I'm glad to be here today. But the social media aspect was something I hated at first. I was...
Really?
Yeah, I was on Facebook, and I immediately gave it the nickname Hate Book because it was so divisive and divisive, and the internet as a whole can be such a hateful place. I never thought that loving, affirming, queer, for example, messages could go viral or could have a wide audience. And it has been my absolute delight to be able to, join that corner of the internet and help it to grow.
Now, what makes a good Vine video? I mean, they're so short. How long does it take you to think of your concepts for it?
Sure. Well, maybe we start with the basics. Vines are 6.5 seconds long. They are, if you're familiar with Instagram video, they are shaped the same. They're a square. And what makes a good video for me is personal connection with the viewers. So I often directly address the camera. I look into people's eyes in that digital way. And I say something that feels like it needs to be said, that is authentic, that's from the heart. To me, that makes a good Vine. Now, if you ask, some other Vine stars, they're going to have different criteria for what makes a good Vine.
I think
having such a different, unusual look, because I have eyeshadow, eye makeup usually, lipstick, and a beard, and to have that inside that little square is, I'm going to tell you a secret. In the business, we call them thumb stoppers. So if you're scrolling through on your cell phone using your thumb, it's whatever image makes a person stop the scroll with their thumb is a thumb stopper. So I think just the look of what I do is thumb stopping. They then get this message that hopefully goes straight to their heart and keeps them watching. I think it's essential. But I interrupted you. What were you going to say?
No, I think that was exactly what I was looking for, and I think that's fantastic that I learned another new term about thumb stopping. I love that. But
I think it's hyphenated.
By the way, you are absolutely beautiful. I think that that anyone that says otherwise is just blind in the head. So, and I think everyone does think you're beautiful. But talk about what was your first inkling that this was something that was going to blow up? Did you have one particular post go viral, or was it just a slow build? How did that work for you?
Yeah, I did have a post sort of explode that launched my career. And, since then I've had several videos that have been very popular. But the first viral video I ever had was me dancing on my roof dressed as the Statue of Liberty. And it was to the song Party in the USA. And I launched it on July 4th. And it just got shared and shared and shared. And it was, if you can imagine it, I have gorgeous legs. It was a very short, all sequins. I carried the book the little book that she has, and the torch. And they were all sequins as well. It was a costume I borrowed from a friend. And it just blew up, as they say. And we've never looked back from there. But the most popular vines that I have actually are not the theatrical ones like that, but the affirming messages vines. You know, I do a mix.
Oh, that's
but
awesome.
It's usually the positivity and the direct heart-to-heart messaging that's very popular.
And you do that so well. You really are connected directly with your fans. But going back, we did bond over Linda Carter. I loved you in Wonder Woman outfit, and you and I are both Linda Carter fans, of course.
Yes, indeed. Yep. She's a hero of mine because in her particular portrayal of Wonder Woman in the 70s, well, here, there's a connection because it was in syndication and, you know, the episodes that happened to have aired before I was born were in syndication, and I saw them growing up in the early 80s, mid-80s on the farm in Pennsylvania. And it was the first time I saw a feminine figure, a glamorous figure, who was also strong, who was also the focal point. I'm talking specifically about the series now, and who was also the hero, went around saving people. I would watch in the afternoon, especially in the summer when there was no school, I would watch and run outside and pretend to be Wonder Woman in the woods behind my house. Short shorts.
I love that.
Had a lasso. I had a cape. And, you know, to get a little metaphorical about it, I think deep down I probably wished that I had bracelets that could, it's like the names I got called at school were bullets. And I wished I had bracelets that could deflect, you know, those emotional bullets that were coming at me from the bullies at school. Though I truly identified with.
Now you are getting deep on me. I love that.
I truly identified with, especially Linda's interpretation of that figure. But I will say the figure as a whole, you know, and if you read, for example, the book Secret Life of Wonder Woman, and you research why that character was created and what Marsden, the creator, was trying to do, it's right in line with what you and I are trying to do. Help people and bring more love
exactly.
to the world. Yeah.
And she's been recognized by HRC in a lot of places for all of her good work. She does such great work for the community as well.
Mm-hmm.
But she is a true hero in every sense of the word, as you said, and fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, along with your positive messages, one of my favorite things that I've learned since we have gotten our friendship is you have your own app on the phone now, and it has some of the best affirming messages. I get at least 3 times a day, I get something that makes me feel good. Talk about the impetus of the app and how that launched and all of that.
Oh, it's wonderful to know that you're out there looking at my app. That's an honor.
I get notifications, buddy. I mean, telling you.
Yeah. That's great. The app was born out of people's requests. I consider myself, you know, not a politician. I think I would actually make a lousy politician just because I don't have the skill set for that. But, you know, I feel like I serve the people, right, and that I have this, in a weird way, constituency of people that have been drawn to what I'm doing online. And they specifically asked me for more ways to interact. You know, here was the gateway, to interact with me auditorially, so through their ears. And we considered, you know, well, is it going to be a podcast? Is it going to be what? And positive vines, my messaging, without looking at them, they would put them to run on their phone and they would just repeat what I was saying. There is nothing wrong with you. There is nothing wrong with you. There is nothing wrong with you, because vines loop and repeat. And so we decided to launch an app that had audio mentoring and audio pep talks, and we also decided to then include behind-the-scenes videos and little positive thoughts in the written form, and, you know, typed form, rather. And, you know, usually every Sunday night, I'm in the chat room chatting with people, taking questions, and it's the app is free to download. I want it to be accessible to everybody. So it's an important way to keep the message going and to keep it personal.
Exactly. I think it's such a great tool. And one of the things you said kind of reminds me of something we talked about before, is the nice thing about Vines and with this thing is you create almost a mantra of positive feelings. And that's the thing with Vine. It's so short and it repeats over and over again. And that's really a way to help change a habit and to really start feeling better about yourself, don't you think?
Mm. Oh, that is so wise. That is the essential point. I think so many people want to get out of their internal conversation. So the usual conversation is, well, that was stupid. Oh, they hate me. Oh, my gosh, I shouldn't have done that. Right? And whatever else.
Right.
So we got programmed to walk around feeling, you know, hatred for ourselves. So many people want to be out of that conversation and into a different one that is affirming, that is loving, that is helpful, that is kind. And so my audio messages help people to switch tracks and get in that new conversation. And my ultimate hope, here's another secret, and I don't think I've ever talked about this in any other interview, my secret hope is for people to be able to do that for themselves. I just want to be the gateway to help people start to change that habit, and then to, you know, applaud people and enjoy when they start to be loving toward themselves, start to change their own.
That is wonderful.
You know, because I don't want people to be dependent on me or my app for the rest of eternity. I want it to be a gateway drug to positivity.
Well, I think it's something you should do. You are so great at interaction with your fans. Wouldn't it be fantastic if you were able to run some kind of some kind of a challenge for listeners to create their own mantras and to upload it to you, and you were able to share that or something with your, to let them know that their message is getting out or something like that, because you are so good at interacting with your fans.
You know what? The first thing that drops in is this in a quasi has happened already on Vine, that you start a hashtag and people respond. So I did a hashtag called Don't Say That's So Gay. And people responded with why. So my first Vine was, I don't say that's so gay because I forget what I said. Gay people are human beings and they deserve our respect.
Right.
And then people responded with their own versions. You know, a mother would respond with, I don't say that's so gay because I love my daughter for exactly who she is. And another person would respond, and I could imagine doing that with these sorts of affirming messages, you know, create a hashtag and get people to respond and pile on and add their own messages to the whole thing. We could create a
I had forgot about that. You had that one, and you had another one that went pretty viral too, the other hashtag.
No time to hate myself.
Oh, that's it. Yes. Love that.
About who we are, how we navigate the world, and how we present ourselves, and how within, you know, no matter what we look like, there's no time to hate ourselves.
So cool. I didn't think about that, but you're right. You've been doing that all along. That is so awesome.
I just feel so lucky. I get to wake up every day and do pretty amazing.
Well, believe me, it's our pleasure too, to be able to meet and talk about these things and really get it out there. I think that is part of our job as communicators, and I don't find myself a communicator now, and I never felt myself that before. I always did a job and something like this, but when circumstances came where I was able to have a voice, and I felt like it's not my opinion, but I need to communicate the opinions out there that we are worthy of this. And so you are just an inspiration for that, and I thank you for what you have contributed to my part of being on the radio here. So thank you very much for that.
Oh, my goodness. It's my absolute honor. Absolute honor. And, of course, you're a voice for a whole group of people.
Well,
and we need you.
What do you have? What's go ahead. What's coming next for you?
Monday night I'll be singing with some Broadway people and in front of, you know, lots of wonderful, beautiful people who care about LGBT equality. And the app, of course, anybody can download. It's free. The book is coming out August the 2nd. And some other stuff I can't talk about, but I can hint that it has to do with TV. And that's all I'll say. The end.
That's okay. We like a hint. Hints are fun. Well, I can't tell you how much of a pleasure it is to have you on, and especially in this time of us. Any final messages for everyone as we start to let the rest of this weekend sink in? Is New York Pride been yet? Are you going to New York Pride? Has that happened yet?
New York Pride is yet to come, and I am happy to be out there supporting and loving my fellow New Yorkers. So if you're coming, look out for me.
Love that.
And
any
final
thoughts
word?
On what people should be doing? Yeah.
We live in a world that is filled with such hatred, but we also live in a world that is filled with such love. And I know which side I'm on. And so my final words are just a call to action.
Well said.
You don't necessarily have to have it all together or make the right steps or do it perfectly, but you do need to get out there and learn to love you and learn to spread that love to as many people as you can.
I love it. Well, tell everyone before we leave where they can find you if they've been living under a rock and haven't found you on social media. Where can they find you?
You can absolutely Google Jeffrey Marsh, and there will be the whole universe is available. JeffreyMarsh.com is a great place to start, and that links to all my positive messaging, the app, the book, the Instagram, the Twitter, and I'm a very accessible celeb, so you can just tweet me and I'll tweet you back, and that's it. You're part of the community.
And you almost let me go without talking about the book. You know, I have a book on pre-order now. I can't believe that went out of my head. I've been doing this on the cuff because I just adore you so much. I wanted you to do most of the conversation, and you're not plugging yourself here for me. Talk about it. The book is on pre-order now. Let everyone know about this fantastic book you have coming out.
Of course. You need to. Do we have time? Do we need to do another commercial? Or
we have all the time you can give me. We have all the time you can give me, so go ahead.
And I know you're on a schedule, though. I'll be brief. So the book is called How to Be You, and it attacks this problem. Attack is such a strong word. It helps problem of self-hatred in the LGBTQ community, but beyond. It's a book for everyone. It's with Penguin Random House, and it helps with that self-hate issue in three ways. It's partly my story. Hopefully people will see themselves in me. And it is partly direct advice. So it takes my experiences and transmits them into direct, actionable, this is how you learn to discover who you are and love who you are. And then thirdly,
and when you say actionable, you actually have it as part workbook for people to actually do exercises to work right along with you, don't you?
Yeah. Exactly. You're as well. It's a workbook, and what I wanted with the workbook sections is for people to have a direct experience of the subjects covered in the book. So we tear out pages, we color things in, we answer questions. And we, in that way, we create the book together. So I'm very excited for it to come out and get into people's hands.
And where can they pre-order it from?
If you go to jeffreymarsh.com, all the links are there. It's on Amazon, it's on Barnes & Noble, but it's also on IndieWire, and it's on a few other places. Whoever you want to support or order it through, it's all there.
Terrific. Well, Jeffrey Marsh, I want you to know I love you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Please, everyone. You can't glance over that.
Oh, of course I can.
I love you, too. Okay. Go ahead. Gloss over.
Well, I hope that's okay. I hope all of our listeners follow Zay on all of the social media. They are there for you to learn, to love yourself, and to really embrace who you are, which is so needed in this time of ours, especially after everything that's happening Sunday. But this is something that we should all be doing all along that will help get us to where we need to be as full, equal, and loving ourselves citizens. So, Jeffrey Marsh, thank you, my friend.
Thank you so much. It was my honor to talk to you today.
And mine as well. You guys are listening to the Left of Straight Show. We'll be back in just a couple of moments. Let's actually go ahead and play a song from Blake MacIver again. This is Who We Are. I've been playing it all week with everything happening in Orlando. I think it is so good. It's his marriage equality anthem, but it fits so well in Pride Month. This is Who We Are by Blake MacIver. We'll be back in just a couple of seconds.
Pulling past the signpost of this tiny weathered town, the tears welled up so high inside, I thought that I might drown. Everything different, but it all looked the same. And now you're here beside me, and I'm rid of all my shame. I just hope that they will see what is always I love you. Will they understand everything you took for us to get those wedding bands? The road ain't always pretty, and home sometimes seems far. With twists and turns, the lessons are learned, growing pains and scars. But it's time for me to say, this is who we are. Boy, I never thought there'd be that perfect happy ending for anyone like me. I could read the signals, fake smiles and the blessed hearts, and I still hear the whispered words that said I'd never be apart. Now I want them all to see the strength of you and me. How much do I love you? Will they understand everything it means for us to have those wedding bands? The road ain't always pretty, and home sometimes seems far. With
And again, that's Blake MacGyver. This is who we are. Guys, thank you so much for listening in today. I want to thank my fantastic guests, Jeffrey Marsh and Emerson Collins. We did look at, while the song was playing, Jeffrey on Broadway is going to be at the JCC, Jewish Community Center of Manhattan, which is at 334 Amsterdam Avenue at West 76th Street. That's going to be at 8 o'clock this Monday for Broadway Sings for Pride. It's a 6th annual Gay Pride charity concert. Starts at 8 o'clock. Again, like I said, B.B. Newworth's going to be there. Leslie Margarita's one of the hosts. Susie Orman's going to be there. Frenchie Davis is going to be there, and so much else. So be sure to look for tickets for that. Emerson, again, is going to be at the Laguna Playhouse in Laguna Beach, California, through the 26th of June. So that's tomorrow through Sunday, and then the following Wednesday through Sunday. Those last 2 weeks, so please go look for tickets for that. You can also get Emerson. We didn't talk about his T-shirts, but Emerson has a great Bless Their Bigoted Hearts T-shirt campaign that you can find on Teespring. I think that's going through June 28th. So you can look for the T-shirts there and check out the Indiegogo campaign for A Very Sordid Wedding. Just look at Very Sordid Wedding under Indiegogo. So thank you so much for my guest coming on. A couple last things to wrap it up. Thanks so much for being part of this week. It's been a tough week for us all. I appreciate listening in. This Thursday in 2 days for our Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio, Kevin and I are going to, I think we're going to have a guest with Gritty, who is a lesbian rapper, for the first 15, 30 minutes. And then we're going to do another town hall type meeting to discuss the stigma, healing stigma, and just healing in general about what's happening in Orlando. So it's going to be a live show at 5 o'clock Thursday right here on blogtalkradio.com/leftofstraight. Look for our social media. You can join in the chat room. You can call in and give your thoughts about it. We had one Sunday with a bunch of friends. It was very good. We're going to be bringing our good friends from Same-Sex Dialogue in with us. I think we're going to try to get Scott Turner Schofield, who is an excellent transgender activist out of California, to call in. So we have another roundtable town hall on Thursday on Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. I hope you'll tune in for that for us. If you haven't got the iPhone app yet, go on your iPhone to the App Store and look under Left of Straight Radio. You'll be able to get all of our shows on there for Left of Straight and Healing Stigma. Coming soon, we'll be having Tell Me a Story and by Liz Rubino. And we're also going to have a new show called Stand on My Soapbox. It'll be coming soon as well. Podcast Awards, the voting for podcasting ended this past Sunday. Thank you for everyone that nominated me and voted for me. I really don't expect to win, but it's been such an honor to represent the LGBT community this past year. We're coming to our one-year anniversary in July. Thank you so much for that. The awards are actually Saturday, June 26th. It's just a little less than 2 weeks away. We'll find out who the actual winner is. I'll let you know what happens there. But thanks again for voting. Next Monday, have a phenomenal show with Star Search's Sam Harris. If you remember Sam Harris back in the day with Star Search, so excited to have him on. He's got a new young son now, and he has the musical Ham he's been working on for the last couple of years, playing everywhere. We're going to have Greg Archer, good friend of mine, and I just love this guy. He's going to be my co-host next week. And that's Monday. And on Tuesday, we're going to have more Sordid Lives fun with Newell and Rosemary Alexander from the new Sordid Lives movie. And we're going to have the ladies of the Same-Sex Dialogue call in. We're going to talk to them as well. So thanks so much for listening to Left of Straight Show today. I am your host, Scott Fullerton. We're here every Monday and Tuesday, 2 p.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. Eastern time. You can always check us out, like I said, on our iPhone app, the Android app will be coming soon. Look for me on Instagram or Twitter at Left of Straight. That's LeftofStr and the number 8. On Facebook, you can find me under the Left of Straight Show or Scott Fullerton. And I hope you'll be following us and see you around next week.
Thanks for tuning in. And again, remember Thursday, Healing Stigma on Left and Straight Radio. Have a great night. Bye-bye.